Well, here's something that I think the Christian church doesn't deal with a whole lot, and it's the difference between interpretation and observation. I would even say this in the same with science, but let's just deal with Christian doctrine and biblical theology here. You can pick five Christians, and they all might read the same biblical verses in different ways. Take the timing of the rapture. That's a popular one. You know, me personally, I don't know what to do with the rapture. I can see validity in all the views. I think that we're not given enough information. But it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. You will have Christians that will say, at the extreme, you are not saved if you're not pre-trib, pre-wrath, post-trib, you know, whatever. You're not saved unless you ascribe to my personal rapture belief. You have the same thing with the age of the earth. That's another one. Actually, exactly. It's really interesting. If people are kind of interested in this, and I don't want to show my hand too much on this, but if people are interested in this, look up right now the Matt Walsh Ken Ham debate that's going on about the age of the earth. It's really interesting, and I've only heard one of them actually admit they could be wrong, and it's the Catholic. And it's funny because, like, I probably align with more beliefs. Like, I probably align more with Ken Ham in terms of, like, beliefs and you know, things that we probably believe. But at the same time, with that whole thing. So just for those who aren't familiar. So Matt Walsh, he works for Daily Wire, and he's a political commentator. And, you know, he's a Catholic, but he also has – he's I'll be honest, he's got some good stuff to say, and it's interesting, and I like it. And he is he's not like a lot of us Protestants in the fact that we Protestants, and I am a Protestant, but we Protestants, we have forgotten philosophy. We just totally don't deal in philosophy anymore. We deal in sola scriptura, which is good. I'm not saying that that's bad. Like that's fine. But at the same time, you know, if you take sola scriptura, you know, just the Bible by itself, if you take that to its extreme, which some Protestants have done, then it means that the Bible itself. You don't know. You don't need anything but the Bible to even understand what they're talking about. You don't need to know about Jewish history. You don't need to know about ancient history. You don't need to know about the mindset of the Jew who was writing the, you know, scripture and whatever you're dealing with at the time. You don't really need to know who Ezekiel was, you know, for example, because, you know, the Bible doesn't really tell you too much. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that Ezekiel wrote, but you don't need to know who he was. You don't really need to know why in the very first chapter it says I Ezekiel, but then in other parts it says the prophet Ezekiel. You know, why is that? Why does the book of Ezekiel speak in the first and the second person? You don't need to know that. Okay, I love sola scriptura. I think it's good. I think that at least should be our first, you know, cornerstone for how we deal with things. But at the same time, there are other things that we can look at to understand what the biblical writers were talking about. So,
right. Well, sola scriptura wouldn't say that our only method of interpreting scripture has to come from the Bible.
No, and good. Yes, sola scriptura itself doesn't say that, but a lot of Christian denominations, especially Baptists I grew up with, they will say that it says that. They will right. Take it to the extreme. So anyway, what does sola scriptura mean?
Sola scriptura just simply means that the Bible is, first of all, the canon's completed. This is the once for all faith delivered unto the saints. This is our only rule of faith and practice. Scripture alone is going to be our rule of faith and practice. Now, right. To understand why Paul is quoting from Greek poets in Acts or in some of the epistles, to understand
even Greek mythology in some time. Yeah.
Right. You can use other books like the works of Josephus, for example, to enrich your understanding of Jewish culture and Jewish literature. Like, it's interesting. You know, what does it mean when it says that Herod, after they said the voice of a man, a God and not a man, and immediately he fell over and was eaten by worms. Josephus records that he was actually laying there rotting over the course of 2 weeks and got eaten alive by, or sorry, his like worms came and ate his corpse for 2 weeks. So, you know, you can find things in text that help give clarity and extrapolation on things in scripture. That doesn't mean you're using those as your new rule of faith and practice. I would like to answer one quick question here just to perfectly illustrate what we're talking about.
Definitely.
We have been talking about. And this was really important to us in writing the book, because who knows that, you know, if Josh and I wanted to really pop off and just get on the bandwagon of hating all of these big mega churches and big mega pastors and calling this new age, Hillsong's new age, you know, Jesus culture's new age, everything's new age just because of a few YouTube snippets.
Surprisingly, we don't really take that position at all.
No. I can't make enough comments on Hillsong to be able to know whether or not they check out. I don't like some of the stuff Carl Lentz has said. It might be a little bit weak to me, but I don't know if it's necessarily demonic or satanic in nature. But
right, so, it could just be weak theology.
So here's an example. So a brother here says, Stephen, Hillsong pastor said Allah is our God. This is about the sixth time he's asked us this. I did 3 seconds of research just now. I just Google searched, did Brian Houston say Allah is our God? And there's an article on Christianity Today where he responds to these allegations. And what he says here, recently there have been false claims on social media that I believe Muslims and Christians worship the same God. This is incorrect. Those propagating these false statements have taken one sentence from an entire message out of context. The spirit of the message was exactly the opposite of what some critics are claiming. If you listen to the message in its entirety, my point was that who a Muslim extremist believes God is determines what they believe God does and what they believe God loves. I was contrasting their harsh perspective of God with who I believe God is, a loving God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and therefore what I believe God does and what I believe God loves. The PMR sentence that critics are drawing huge conclusions from was clearly a clumsy way of me explaining that both Christians and Muslims believe they serve the God of Abraham. They are very different entities or deities in both nature and action. So he was trying to say that Muslim extremists believe that they worship the God of Abraham, which they do. He's not saying I, as a Christian pastor, believe that these Muslim extremists actually worship the God of Abraham. So he said he didn't. He just said he does not believe that, and I found that in 3 seconds of research. But what you'll see online is videos of that have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of views. Brian Houston is a, you know, he promotes Chrislam. Look at this. Oh, wow. He promotes Chrislam. Look at this verse. He says, no, that's out of context from the whole sermon. I don't believe that. I was saying what Muslims believe, that they believe that we worship the same God. So that's an example of, and we can go through this example after example, where things are taken out of context. Another big one real quick before we go on, and this is why it's important to not judge every single thing that you see. Defense of Hillsong. No, it's a defense of the truth, Captain Bob. It's a defense of the truth. Either you love the truth and rejoice in it, or you hate it. Brian did not say, and he does not believe, that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. He their statement of faith denies that. His own words deny that. Now you can try to broad stroke that as being a defense of Hillsong and being this really big, fishy, questionable thing. Or you can just say, what is the truth of the matter? Does he really believe that? Or was that a clumsy way of articulating something that people are taking out of context? The truth is the latter, and we know that. It's documented. I defend the truth. I care what the truth is. I don't care what camp that associates me in. If that means that I'm sure they have tons of abominations in that church. I'm sure they do. That's not one of them. So I'm not saying that that church is amazing and you know that everything they're doing is to the book and incredible. I've had people who I really respect in the faith go there and say they were sickened by what they saw the pastor do and say. But I believe in the truth, and I don't care where that lands me. Here's what's not the truth. Everyone who is charismatic in nature is New Age. That's not the truth.
Right.
Here's also what's not the truth. Todd White denies the deity of Jesus because he had a slip of tongue once said, and Jesus is not God, or did not walk the earth as God. What he means is that Jesus' deity was veiled in his flesh nature, which is it's kenosis. It's not a technically orthodox view of the hypostatic union. But he corrects himself. He says all the time that Jesus is God and was God. His statement of faith reveals he believes in the deity of Christ. So that, again, it's something taken out of context. It's not what he really believes. It's a slip of the tongue. We have to know. We have to further inquire and seek clarification. So what I'm saying is, tying this into the book a little bit, it would have been very easy for us to completely sensationalize everything. Sensationalism is not what's going to reach people.
Taking
comments out of context and compiling them to kind of prove some preconceived narrative that we think people will want. Just like people think that Joel Osteen is tickling people's ears with his speaking, which he is. Some of you guys are having your ears tickled by skeptics who are justifying either your hardness of heart or your fear or your resentment toward the charismatic movement.
Amen.
Right? So it goes both ways. It's not just the tickling of ears who are those who are preaching wealth and health. It's the tickling of ears of those who want to say, who want to feel confirmed and justified in their own sense of correctness, and just have that pride, just massage their own sense of pride for calling someone else a heretic. It's that self-exalting, self-glorifying pleasure that our flesh gets from feeling right and that another person's wrong, and that we're able to identify that they're wrong. And it's pure of the flesh, and it is the tickling of ears. And it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. But here's the point. So Josh and I could have made a whole chapter. We do have a lengthy chapter on how the New Age has gotten into the church, and everything in there is like, it's major, it's significant, it's documented. What Josh and I preface in the beginning is that we are both not going to advocate ministry bashing on the basis of disagreeing about secondary issues gathered from YouTube sound bites.